Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our show, the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen, and I'm here with Neil Baker, psychic and author. And today, we, of course, are happy to be here and giving you readings, but we're also going to be discussing karmic locations, which we did a show on Monday. In case you missed that, you can go back into the archives and catch up to where we left off there. Our call-in number today, as always, 914-338-0164, and we would love it if all our listeners and our callers supported us by following us right here on Blog Talk Radio, joining us on Facebook. We have a fan page as well as a regular Facebook page where you can send a friend request. Neil's name is on the page. We share the page. You reach me by internet. And Neil, you can reach by phone, 562-596-7818. He's not quite dialed into the technological world.
Well, I have nothing against technology, but that's just my channel.
What channel?
Technology. I mean, it is my channel, but it's not how I receive messages, not through technology.
No, and some people don't understand why. It's, Neil deals with the vibration of a human being, and that it tends to get lost in an email. It's much easier if you want to have a personal conversation with him to contact him by phone again at number 562-596-7818. And we see that we've got some callers in the queue. If you guys would just hang out, we will get to your calls in about 15 to 20 minutes. But on last Monday's show, Neil, we were talking about karmic locations and when karmic locations have a fatality involved in them. And, you know, it was interesting because after the show we were talking about how the Twin Towers, which ultimately proved to be fatal for many individuals, not only fatal, but, you know, many people were injured. Of course, the families, the friends of these people were affected also on a karmic level, I believe, by the deaths of their friends and family or the injuries of their friends and family. So there was a lot of karma tied in with that location. But, of course, the Twin Towers were there for a really long time. And I think, was there a 1997 bomb? Wasn't there a bombing in 1997 on the Trade Center?
I believe so.
That there was. But aside from that event, which was not as catastrophic as 9/11, I mean, the towers were relatively, you know, the karma didn't concentrate really until those two events. And between 1997 and 2011, there wasn't anything that occurred there. So it's interesting because karma can creep up on you.
Yeah, I mean, the structures are of one matter, and then the location where the structures are of another. You know, one of our major areas of destruction occurred at the Tower of Babel, where confusion and language was the confusion of language, theoretically by biblical literature, was shattered because of the structure that was starting to try to reach to heaven. And God, in the literature, did his number on the attitude of man and the non-respect that men had for God and the challenge thereof, and then the Tower of Babel was sort of like an olden day Twin Tower thing. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's a different dynamic, but when an area is attacked or when there is death upon an area, a certain location, not only is the structure important, but the land itself. We first of all, a building can be sacred, but the ground that a building stands on has got to be sacred too. They almost coincide together. And when we deal with the element of deep karma, when we're talking about the elements of deep karma on the earth, we have to also, we talk about locations of the earth, whether it's the Grand Mount Kilimanjaro or areas that are where the Himalayas, where we have in Egypt, the Luxor, we have different areas on the globe that are sacred areas, where Christ was crucified, where this happened, where that happened. So the area itself has a very demanding presence. And we have to respect that our planet and the interior content of our planet has an energy. And it's just not the structure itself. So location is very, very important and fascinating, because in the history of our world, certain things happen in certain places, and that, to me, is the principle of karma.
Right. So, Neil, we were talking about fatalities involved in locations for certain individuals, but some people can live in an area, and they're not going to have any tragic downfall in terms of death. I mean, everybody dies, as we said, and as everybody knows, we all die. But instead of an untimely death that a person might experience because of a karmic location, they can also experience difficulty actualizing themselves. Now, different types of karma can prevent a person from fully actualizing, but is it true that someone can move out of a specific area and be able to reverse, just by virtue of moving out of an area, reverse that karma?
Well, of course. I mean, the attitude of how we establish and find our identity or where we live or where we move from, that is one of the factors of how lives are changed, amongst others. Who we meet, it could be luck itself, it could be the university we attend to. You know, there's all different areas of why things happen at certain locations, because the attitude is that we're not, our placement on the planet is a continuum of placements on the planet. And we just don't have one place where we plant our feet. We're not trees. We just root. I mean, there's some people that just root in one area and they live and die there. And that's all they have and that's all they know. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with planting your roots in one area and living your entire life there, if your karma is of such an
nature
measurement that's what you're supposed to do. That's all your energy is. But I take the attitude that, I mean, we can all lead lives of unproductivity. We can lead lives of monotony or stability, or we can lead lives of transcendence. I mean, think of the people who leave their families. They go across the world, people they don't even know, and in consequence of helping people in severe poverty or political turmoil or whatever it may be, they get beheaded, they get executed, they get killed. Think of how many soldiers have died on foreign shores, more or less volunteers. Our planet is filled with mystical content. And it also has an element of destiny in it. And we as human beings, we have to exert some sense of free will, gut feeling, compassion, the variety of energy that may take us from one location to another and wander. I mean, a lot of our great masters, they don't have a home. there's not really a place where they solely exist. And those that have messages to give don't always necessarily stay in one location, in one place, although a lot of them do, and we have to climb the mountain to get enlightened by them. But, you know, it's a variety of energy. Now, the idea is this. Can any birth date, you can decode the attitude of what a location is or measure the movement of what a human being is supposed to do as he travels through time and space in the physical elements? Because the physical elements are going to encapture those mystical qualities about our life. You know, and when we give other more contemporary examples, like the destiny Lincoln faced, why did he die in Ford's Theater? Why did Kennedy die in Dallas? You know, why did Gandhi die where? When we look at the attitudes of where Martin Luther, I mean, for God's sakes, look where he died. You know, the location, yes. The destiny, yes. Sometimes the cup can't pass from us. We have to accept where we are, and sometimes that's driven by the attitude of God and the placement of how we are directed as his subject.
Right, because that is a good question that comes up. Martin Luther, John Kennedy, Abraham Lincoln, I mean, was this a destiny that was fixed, or is it something they could have avoided?
Fixed.
It was fixed.
My evaluation fixed.
Why so? What about this event?
I think that some of our great teachers and masters are not of the world. They're in the world, but they're not of the world. They incorporate and manifest the higher elements from another world, and they're not of this world.
You mean Kennedy and Martin Luther?
They were human beings.
They were human beings.
They were human beings. I'm not equating them to our higher master. We're talking about political human beings, a leader of civil rights, a leader of, in some regards, civil rights too, the splitting of our nation. But those are human beings. But I'm not saying that you have to be a master or an ascended master or some kind of spiritual element from another world in order to make an impact on the earth and to have a mission and a destiny. And you know what? Some of us have smaller destinies. Some of us came down to the planet to help one person, to save one person, to help a community. We all have, it's relative. Not everyone's going to have the same garden, and not everyone's going to be of immense monumental reputation. And some of our smaller people, some of the people who put all they've got, which is maybe 10 cents into pipes, as opposed to somebody who is a millionaire that puts in 100,000, it's all relative to what we give of our spirit, of our soul, and where our personal convictions are. Now, what's interesting is that a birth date, not that a birth date isn't, a birth date is only a code, but because we're enthralled with the attitude of codes and birth dates in this particular show, we allude to them. But the attitude is not the birth date. The birth date is only a footprint of the soul of the spirit and the continuum of numbers as they appear rearranged and rearranged and rearranged throughout time as we master the earth and master the physicality of the planet so that we can all eventually ascend into the higher realms and go beyond and beyond and beyond into the many rooms of God's mansion. So the attitude is this. First of all, conviction. The conviction of being somewhere at some time. Now, you may say those kids in the balcony were celebrating someone's 21st birthday, and they didn't die in a moment of great passion. They were just celebrating something. Mm-hmm. Apparently, dry rock got into the wood. It wasn't the water leaked in. There wasn't proper ventilation. Now they're trying to address how balconies should be built and proper construction. But that the tragedy of that, those deaths, that's what's horrendous about existence, is sometimes the value of human life. Life is so fragile that we can die in great causes and we can die in small, seemingly meaningless events that just happen. People who go up to the store to get a pack of gum and they die. and that's it, as opposed to someone who deliberately commits suicide and shatters every living human being that's in love with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have, first of all, we have personal choice. In many regards, we do have personal choice. We have destiny and we have personal choice. And I believe that there is a clear division between the two. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, the question was asked, do I meet my destiny or can I escape it? I think sometimes we have convictions that we have to address, and those convictions have to do with a certain element. Now, that was a highly elevated human being, and following a conscious code, having a direct link and communication to God. So there's that attitude. Some of us believe we're communicating with angels and spirits and guides. Well, that's another communication. Some of us just have personal conviction, and some of us are just silly human beings who, you know, don't even understand the concepts of spirituality, and we go wherever the wind blows us. It doesn't really matter. But for those of us who have a consciousness and live on a higher plane of actualizing ourselves and take great depth into our actions on the planet, yes, there is a lively discussion about karma and how karma places us on this planet and where we should be at a given time, and the excitement of bridging ourselves to a higher source so we can understand our movements and not let them be just meaningless gestures that we express as human beings. So there is a certain location, device, be it land, be it a structure on the land, where there is a vibration that occurs. And what's interesting is that when we're highly sensitive human beings and we can feel that vibration, then we can actually read the location of a given place, which was vastly demonstrated even throughout the Bible.
Now, Neil, we got to get to our callers in just a moment, but is there any identifying factors? I mean, people can have bad circumstances in their life. It doesn't mean they're necessarily suffering from a situation where the karma in a location is what they're experiencing. How do people identify whether this is in fact the root of the problem? And how do they, I mean, of course, moving is an obvious answer, but I mean, first I think identifying.
Well, yeah, I mean, the problem some of us are moved by intuition. Some of us, you know, I've got clients who talk to me about decisions of whether they should move or stay or how long they stay in a spot. And you can count, you know, as advisors and guides, you can counsel people and give them the best solutions or the best options and redefine it by going to great the meaning of being in a certain place and how much time you must spend there. And whether if you move away, sometimes moving away, it's just a fact.
Right, because you can have karma in a location, but you might have to stay there for a specific amount of time. It doesn't mean you have to necessarily are allowed to abandon or
certainly
hear from. You have to maybe go through a certain time frame
cycle
of karma. Exactly.
I've got a lot of people that have asked me questions, and I've said, don't stay put. Stay put, not the time to move, you know.
Even if they're experiencing negativity.
The difficulty of being in a compromising or awkward situation or a situation that tests your spirit doesn't necessarily mean you have to move out of it. There are other extenuating circumstances that may be very compelling as to why you're going through something, as opposed to avoiding something because there is a certain inherent danger there. I mean, history is filled with examples of warnings of people not start going to a certain location because there will be trouble there. And it's just that God doesn't always give
or looking
divine
back on a location, like Lot's wife. I mean,
leaving
Sodom
back
and Gomorrah, and she turns around and turns to a pillar of salt.
Yeah.
So that is a metaphor for karma.
That's right. Times in looking back, we find ourselves making a big mistake. So isn't it mysterious? It's very challenging. It's very mysterious. And some of our human choices that we make in life in terms of our free will and our willpower can either command a rational answer or an irrational. And sometimes when we make our decisions, we have to hold those decisions dear to our heart, because that's where we have to really address who we are as human beings and how we ultimately explain our actions will be between ourselves and God.
Okay, Neil, we've got to get to our callers. So everybody in the queue, of course, is getting a reading, but just please keep your place in line because that makes it easier. And we have two private callers that have not raised their hands. I don't know if you guys know, but please press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. Press 1. Probably bring them on anyway. I'm guessing you're going to want readings. Area code 407 is our first caller. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you, Neil and Kristen?
Hi. Oh, this is Michelle.
Yes. How are you?
Yes. Hello. Good. How are you? 30 equals 3, and you're born in 74, but the rest of your birth date escapes me because it's been a little
10,
bit.
10-17.
And I knew it was October, too. All right. 10-17-74. And this is Michelle. Michelle went to Spain recently. And I'm assuming you're back.
Yes. Yes. And I wanted to ask how the relationship with the test car driver is going. We spent some time together, but I felt like the time was just kind of like suspended. And I feel like there's more to come, but I just wanted to get your insight on that.
You spent some time together, but you felt the time was just sort of, what, not non-eventful or...
No, not non-eventful, just like, it's not that it wasn't quality time, it's just that there was so much going on that we couldn't really spend that much time together.
Yeah.
And he's there in Europe, correct?
Right.
Not here? Okay. And are you going back? We can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry, I said I should be.
Oh, you should be. Okay.
You should be going back. You should be. Well, you should be. You should be going back. Well, you see, there's a certain dilemma here, Michelle, between your destiny and his destiny, and how the two shall meet and become one, so to speak, with what I would call distraction. There are distractions going on in your energy field as well as his energy field that is not getting to the focus of the real matter that's going on between the two of you as human beings that exist on a karmic level. So those distractions can be quite disturbing if we allow the noise to distract us in such a way that we aren't paying attention to what's really happening between the two of you. And sometimes we listen to distractions because we're afraid to face something of the heart. Now, there is an element of the heart that's going on between the two of you. Because your destiny, Michelle, is to experience spirit and heart. That's what you're supposed to be experiencing, spirit and heart. Now, spirit is of the highest element, and heart is, of course, what centers us as human beings on the planet. So when we have spirit and heart, and we've got those two elements, when we combine them, the journey between spirit and heart is 3, which has a trinity factor, which happens to be your master number itself. So you're here to experience some sense of conflict. And I do not believe that your destiny, if you might want to call it that, is quite over yet with this man. So what that really means is that you haven't come to the chapter yet where the final decision is made according to free will. So there is time, pages left for you to fill. And when you say, I should be going back, you should be going back. This is a matter of going back to fulfill something that I think for the two of you, there should be some sense of what the decision is in terms of transcendence. It's not a matter of going back to put closure on something that's ending or going back to right or wrong or something like that. Your journey is about going back to understand how to transcend with a human being. Now, he may not be ready for that. And that's why you may feel a little bit displaced in terms of your energy with him. And the attitude with him is to get him centered. I'd have to go into more detail about his particular birth date and get a vibe. I can't do it today on the radio, but I'd have to go into more detail, Michelle, and get a particular vibration about his vibe as we currently speak. The only thing that I do see around him is that there seems to be a time clock around him, like an old-fashioned clock you put on your night shelf with the little thing that rings the bell back and forth, like you wind up. I'm seeing that image. So there's a time factor, and it seems to be between now and April, where the ultimate journey reaches its conclusion to some extent in terms of what the decisions are going to be. So that window is there.
And just one thing with this. So it felt a little different with him this time, like we were closer. Am I like a little crazy? But I think there was the time problem too.
Yeah, the time problem. You're not crazy in feeling closer. The energy will promote closeness, but the free will, the current consciousness of the human beings involved in the process can alter things. So what you have to do is you're dealing with the element of the human mind making current decisions, but you're also, that's underlined by the destiny factor that there's supposed to be a route of leading to closeness. So the closeness will do its job and make you feel closer, but then it's going to be up to the two of you to decide what to do with that closeness. And that can be somewhat predicted, but not on the radio today.
Okay, Michelle.
Okay, that's good.
Thanks.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. 562-596-7818 is Neil's direct number. Okay. All right. 225 area code is our next caller. Good morning.
Good morning. My name's Edna.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, Edna.
Fine,
thank you. How are you?
I'm great. I'm from Louisiana, and I've been listening to your show just recently, and really enjoy it.
I know who you are. You're on Facebook. You're on a Facebook.
I am. Yes, I am.
Yes,
I am.
You are. Yes. Well, welcome. I don't think we've spoken with you on the air. What's your birth date?
11/3/81.
Okay. 9/23/5. Did I do that right? 1, 2, 3, 24/6. What's wrong with me? So I'm having a little arithmetic errors here, Edna. Go ahead.
I've been kind of open my whole life just recently. I lost my mom about a year ago, and she, ever since she passed, she was the one who actually helped me kind of bring down my block. Because she was the one, when she was alive, that she would criticize it because she was that way, but she didn't want me to be that way. That's what I was told. So now I have a son who's 6, and he is a child of now. And I just want to just make sure that, that I'm going to be able to go the right roads to keep him on his journey and make sure that, I'm on my purpose as well as, becoming a little bit more clairvoyant and a little bit more stronger in my abilities.
Well, Edna, you're right in the right area of discussion. Your master number is 6. Which is the 6th chakra, which is the 3rd eye, which is the attitude of talking about such metaphysical topics as spiritual guidance and cosmic and intuitiveness and all that kind of thing. I want to ask you something. Whether you knew the person, whether you knew this name or not, or remotely knew it, was there ever a Barbara around you at any time in your life?
Yes.
And who's Barbara?
It was actually a lady who I was kicked out at a very young age, and she would drive me to work every day because I lived far and I would walk. And she actually was the one who I would never forget her. She's always say that she's like an angel to me. She was always the one, just a brief moment in my life, but I was young and she gave me hope to keep fighting to stay on the right path.
Yeah.
Well, she was a human. She embodied angelic qualities. She was a human being, but she embodied. She crossed over, I would imagine.
Yes.
Yeah. She's giving me a vibrational communication. So she's on the other side, crude term, the other side. Mm-hmm. The other side of what? She's on the other side. Yeah. And
the other side of the street.
Yeah. I mean, these are current, these are words that we've incorporated in our language, and I'm clumsy too with them too, but she's moved into that element of soul and spirit, and she's over there and she's talking to me and she's saying mm-hmm. hello to you vibrational wise, and she's saying that, you know, in many ways it's kind of funny because drivers, to me, I've incorporated drivers in many aspects of my own creativity in terms of that they have significant value. And so she did graduate when she crossed over. She graduated.
She transcended?
Yeah.
Wow.
She's over there. So,
I hear you saying that very often.
Not very often. But she's over there. Now it may be that she's working on a cosmic level to improve her energy. I you know, where she goes from there, could she come back? Could she elect to come back? Could she be coming back on some higher purpose? It's possible. But right now, she's in a very nice area of the afterlife realm, and she's very vibrating with such intensity that she wanted to connect to you and say, I love you, you're going to be guided. Maybe she'll help you. Maybe her energy is a thumbs up that her the movement of her spirit is felt deeply around you, as the movement of several human beings who have crossed over will be helping you, and ascended masters, and going up the ladder to heights. The fact that you are very acutely aware of being of guidance to your son is one and foremost the most important factor.
Do we have a birth date for your son, Edna?
Yes, 6/14/09.
2009, okay.
Oh, that was 1909. I was thinking.
Oh, wow, yeah.
No, 2009. He just turned 6.
And 11.
12, 13.
22/4. Well, see, nice energy, because the two of you together become a 10. Now, that's a completion form, because you're a 6.
Mm-hmm.
And your son's a 4. Now, that element is psychicness and third eye. Third eye, psychicness, and then heart. Now, the heart, your son's going through a lot of trouble and tribulation because there might be a separation. Is there a separation? Is the husband not around, or the father?
No, his dad's in there, but he recently, he was very close to my mom for, he only had a few years with her before she got really sick, but before she died, the day before she actually crossed over, he was telling her not to be afraid, that there was always going to be someone to greet her, and I've never heard a 5-year-old talk to someone like that. He held her hand until the day before she died, giving her strength. So one thing I can think of is he has been talking about her a lot lately. So maybe that separation between Granny and him.
Well, yeah. So we're on that plane. I'm also seeing a male energy that left. I don't know yet. Well, we don't have time, but I don't know yet where that male energy is. But it could be there's something in there. I can't. Maybe I won't have time to get into that. Let me go to a different route.
Well, my dad is very sick, and he's not able to see him right now. So maybe that's it, too.
Your dad.
Yeah, my father's very, very sick right now. And so he's been asking about my dad. He tells me he prays for him every day.
Oh, okay. That's where, because I was getting an attitude of a male energy distant. Okay. Now,
mm-hmm.
your son,
yes,
6/1/14, Edna, comes to an 11, which is your month. Plus 1 plus 4 equals 11, which is your month. And so there's a connection.
Before I had him, I would see all ones on the clock 3-4 times a day. And then I had him 11 days after my grandpa died in room 11.
Yeah.
11 I always figured that once. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, 11 is part of your karmic code. It's not your master number. Your master number is 6. And your higher numbers are 8 and 1. 8 and 1 has a certain divine energy to them mixed up. See, 8 and 1 become a 9, and then your son is born on the 9th.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a certain element there that is very, very strongly connected. And then your son's year is 2009, which is an 11, you see.
Oh, my goodness.
So the
11
quality, You see, you came down to the planet for many reasons. One of the big ones was to have this child.
Yes.
Now, you know, we could all say, well, doesn't anyone who has a child, wasn't that's why they came down? Yes, but there's different ways to analyze the content of children and parents. There's different ways to look at that and analyze what the depth of that is. You have a sound cosmic connection with your son.
Yes.
So that means that in the tribal sense of past life energies, you've taught your son many times over. But there's been a certain attitude on the planet between the two of you where there were distractions. We're talking about the other call, where there were distractions and some of the learning lessons were interrupted.
Mm-hmm.
So you've come back with him to continue the saga. It's like a trilogy, to continue the saga with this human being and to help guide them so that there can be a proper sense of ascendance upon the expired breath.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're not only that, but your master number is 6, and that's the month he was born, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a link with him. You have a specific link with him that is unlike any other link. Now, not only that, but your days are 3 and 1 and 4, and that add up to 8. 3 plus 4 is 7, and 1 is 8. And that's your year number. And,
so
it becomes a very significant factor here that you and this child have come back together to formulate a dialogue on a continuum basis that helps to elevate a sense of higher consciousness. Now, you're going to have your guides and teachers, Barbara amongst them, that will help guide you along. The wonderful thing about human beings who cross over is that some of them become guides. It's wonderful. Human beings don't miraculously turn into angels. Angels are of a different substance.
Mm-hmm.
But human beings can become angelic-like, and they become more than anything, they become celestial mentors and guides under a higher jurisdiction of God. So that's what Barbara's become, and she's igniting the conversation with these elements of time. You also have to understand, and was there, we have to move on. I know we have to move on. Was there ever anyone so far named Tom or Thomas?
I'm not sure.
Okay, you're not sure about that one. So I want you to pay attention to that, put it on the future shelf, because there's a Tom coming in. Oh, incidentally, anyone in your history, in your life, anyone ever had to use a tutor for any kind of teaching?
I did when I was younger.
Okay. So you used a tutor. Okay, I just need to know that for future reference. But I hope, you know, the limitations of time, Edna, or what they are, but this is an intriguing conversation.
Definitely, thank you. I mean, just a little bit that we went over, you've given me a lot of information that I've been feeling. So I definitely will call in again on another time so we can kind of keep going. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Edna. Thank you for your call. 562-596-7818 is Neil's direct number. It is difficult on the radio show to go into the full depth of a reading. So, you know, they are meant to be brief. So I know it's tempting to keep to keep the dialogue going with our callers, but we do try to get to everybody that calls us. All right, 951, it's Nathaniel. Hi, Nathaniel.
Hi. How are you?
What's going on? Fine, thanks. How are you?
Oh, just I'm just really not doing that much. I'm working around the house here. I don't know if I should ask a question or if I could get a general message or something.
Okay. I don't know. It's up to you. Do you prefer a general message? I mean, it's your call.
Whichever.
Did you learn anything about the car situation?
I'm trying to get a, possibly a truck or a small car, a small truck, something good on gas mileage or something like that. I'll probably, I think I'll be getting some disability money a week after next here on Friday. I'll have enough to get my car out of pawn or out of the shop. And then I don't know if I could, sell it to one of those loan places. They were going to give me $3,000 for it, but I don't know how to, unload it or, sell it.
Well, Nathaniel, I see the fine details, I don't know, but I see that being sold and you're getting a new car. I mean, you're getting this other car, so I see that coming in. There's something about a $400, somewhere in that vicinity figure. Is there anything coming your way? Yeah, $400.
$400? A car for
$400? No. Are you getting any check or anything for $400? Is there $400 on its way to you? Anything with a $400 figure that you know of at this time?
Well, the week after next Friday, I should be getting $635, and it's going to cost $90. It's going to cost $90 to get it out of the shop because they looked at it. So I would have $545 left over. So I could spend $400 for a car. I could maybe buy the registration and whatnot or license and registration for the remainder, hopefully.
Yeah.
And some money to live for the next 2 weeks after that.
Yeah. That's what I think probably the game plan is, Nathaniel. That's probably where our figures are kind of converging in our estimation. And what the game plan would be, that's what I think is going to be the next thing that probably would be on your plate here. So that's probably what's coming in. The 635, the 90 to get it out, and then maybe the 400 down or something. And that's where I think it may be coming from. And then that will give you your wheels. And we can, then we'll have further discussions after that.
You know, it's really hard to look for work without wheels, I mean, one job wants me to drive to Carson, and that's over 150 miles away. And being out here in the middle of nowhere, it's hard to get a kind of a job. All the jobs are low, paying lower,
Yeah.
And, I do have a friend that mentioned that, he said his brother gets cars, sometimes for $200. I don't know if he works on them. He's a mechanic or some kind of body work, or they do those things where they have, like, cars, where they use them to run into or something.
I don't know if it's a vehicle you're going to get for $200 and how dependable it is, Buyer beware, You get what,
for $400,
Yeah.
You might think the 400 is not for the car, it's just a down payment.
It might be a down payment. I would suggest you get a somewhat dependable car instead of throwing money into something that you can't depend on. Your situation is a very real, solid, physical situation. You need wheels and you need a job.
You know, we're talking about lower chakra survival energy. So we have to try to figure out how to manifest actualized energy in that lower chakra zone, which is more basically involved in the survival areas of your life. And given the fact of your location, we were talking about location today, and given the fact that you're out there in a remote location and that the only available reliable jobs for you are short of income, you know, short of substance, you're a security guard, you know, unless you direct your energy towards something nearby or around and focus on that, yes, then it complicates matters and you have to branch out and compensate for, you know, the idea that you're not in a location that is going to nurture you. So you're kind of in a caught in a little bit of a snag here, Nathaniel. Your environment isn't nurturing you. You have to migrate. You have to go out like many of the hunters did. You're not gathering your energy right there in space and time where you are, like a garden. You're going out to hunt like they did in the old days, and they came back with the substance. So what you're doing is you're hunting. You're not gathering, you're hunting. So that takes on a primitive survival area of your life where you have to say, I need to become a warrior. I need to go out and hunt and bring the food back. So you're in your primitive lower chakra element of hunting.
But please don't literally hunt.
Yeah, don't literally. Well, we're vegetarians on our side of the block here. But
vegetarian for me. I mean, once in a while I will eat fish, which is giving me a lot of depth. But
like,
that's another topic.
I don't like hunting or killing animals. I don't like that. I think it's pretty sick.
No, we didn't think that.
Don't get me wrong, Nathaniel. I'm a vegetarian. I don't eat any meat. I don't believe in killing animals. I've been that way since I was a boy. So that's who I am. So I'm using it as an analogy in terms of the hunter-gatherer syndrome, the subject matter. Yeah, that's all I'm saying. And so I use it as a gathering of categorizing who we are as human beings. And you're in that mode. I mean, we could say that you are in survival mode, searching for nourishment, searching for your essence. And because, you know, you're either going to have to move to that specific location, or you're going to try to compensate and live where you're at and try to find nourishment either in your general vicinity, or you're going to have to venture out, which would require a car. I mean, most of us do need cars.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a fact. Yeah. So, but we'll put out good energy, Nathaniel, that these things are forthcoming. I think you'll probably be getting an answer within 2 weeks anyways.
I'll be getting
an answer to your problem within 2 weeks, you know, at least a mild solution that will help you move forward without feel like you're struggling so much, at least immediately drowning. Something will come to the surface and you'll be able to float on that until we assess your next, tactic, your next move.
Okay, Nathaniel.
Well, thanks a lot, Neil. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Our next caller, 305. Actually, Neil's a pastritarian.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever, well, you're a sugar guy, but it works for your body.
Sugar, honey.
That's right. Okay. 305, we've got Deanna on the line. Hi, Deanna. 11849.
Hi, Kristen. And hi, Neil. I called back because I wanted to ask you about my cousin. He's already turned 67. His birthday was 6/21/48. And I want to know what's up next for him. You told me this is an important year.
31/4. And you're, 6/20/48, and you're 11/8/49.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I was just repeating your birth date.
So he's a 4,
right.
And she's 6. You know, interesting, because Edna and her son Same thing.
Right.
6 and 4. Did you add that up right? Did I add that up right? 6, 7, 8, 9,
yeah.
19, 12.
Well,
yeah.
Well, he's a 5.
Did I add that up wrong? What's wrong with me? 6, 7, 8, 9.
Wait a minute.
Conversation with Edna. I thought it was wonderful. You know,
no,
what a
wonderful
conversation.
31, 4.
Well, you know what? You know what's funny about Edna? But you know what's funny? I didn't know you were waiting in line to talk, and I asked Edna about a Tom, and that
yes,
was this
I
guy.
Yes, I heard that. Yes.
Yeah, and this guy's name is Tom, isn't it?
Yes, Thomas.
Yeah. So, yeah, Thomas. And I asked about a Tom or Thomas. So without knowing you were waiting to make a call here, I was probably that Tom or Thomas in Edna's reading. That Tom
I
or
thought
Thomas
so.
Probably, yeah, it was probably meant for you. Okay, because I
it resonated with me. I loved the conversation. It was wonderful. What a sweet person. And
yeah.
I also had a Barbara, a very important neighbor who was so kind. So that conversation, you know, meant a lot to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, he's a 4 and you're a 6. Those energies together, Deanna, they equate in many ways soundly because the third eye and the heart are equatable. They work together well, especially when things are in sync. And because the heart is going to give balance to the third eye and make sure that the third eye is just not solely objective, that there's some sense of compassion and love and attention to those kinds of details involved in the energy, which brings us to much higher chakras than even the 6th chakra, where we're trying to attain some sense of a 8 or 9 or 7, 8, 9 factor. You have an 8 in your day, and Tom has an 8 in his year. He also has a 4
right.
in his year. You both share those energies. And so, you know, there's a link between the two of you, and that link establishes a higher sense of being in terms of where the two of you, how the two of you meet and on what plane. Now, there is a certain karmic intensity between the two of you where there are certain debts to be paid off, but more in the element of devotion and not self-serving, but where you are self-serving someone else.
Self-sacrifice?
Maybe self-sacrifice, but when you are of service to your fellow human being.
No, that's
you know, is self-service, you tend to think.
I feel like we're filling up gas
yeah,
cars.
Yeah, self-service gas yeah. or restaurant.
We're checking out of the grocery store.
But
okay.
Self-service can also apply to being of service to others because we all have a self, you know, we all have that energy. So other service maybe, I don't know what the term would be, but that's where the energy exists, Deanna. And so the continuation
yes.
of that journey is intense, and I don't think it's over. Maybe within about a week, there'll be more conversation between the two of you. Something's going to be shared of some nature. His mobility may decrease in time, to the extent of where he's at now, but you know your access to him won't decrease.
He's been paralyzed for the last 2 years, and tomorrow he's got an appointment with a doctor, and I'm going to be a part of it now that I am, you know, overseeing his health and everything else. I was hoping that I would make a positive change for him.
Well, the idea, the mobility being the idea of that energy is, I was talking about drivers. Are you driving him?
No, he is in an institution in bed. He's bedridden.
Well, the idea of movement has also to do with the idea of what others do for us in terms of movement. So if you're a 6.
you're a six, and you're
like
six,
Edna.
Yeah, and your six is that you are, that's the energy of movement. If we are confined, we are confined, because I've done readings with you before, Diane. I know Tom's situation, but if we are confined and we have others move for us, our mobility increases because we have others doing the bidding for us, the work for us. So it's almost
right.
Like that's where the union comes in. So it's almost like we're almost omnipresent because we are in one place, but because of the aid of others, we are omnipresent. We are in many places. That's the whole essence. We do it on a crude human level, but spirit does it on a whole, on a universal level in terms of being in one space at all times. So I think that there's going to be an increased activity. What I mean by his mobility is there's going to be increased activity on your part to be mobile for him, to be of availability to him. It's going to increase.
That's great.
And
I appreciate the reading.
Yeah, if you say you have an appointment with Diana, then that would explain some of that matter.
Yes, that's tomorrow, and now I'm being called whenever there's any change, so that's great. That's great.
Good. Well, hopefully that helps, Diana.
Thank you so much, Kristen, and thank you, Neil. I wish you a great weekend.
I'll
keep on listening.
Keep us posted. And we are out of callers, Neil. And we are done for the day, but back on the air on Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. So thanks, everyone, for your participation. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.